Okay, wait a damn minute. I was today years old as Robertina cracks open my beer. I was today years old when I learned that Robert bleaches his teeth as he's currently doing while he's drinking an alcoholic beverage. What do you have to say about that?
I have to say that, bitch, I'm not bleaching my teeth at this very second. It's a simple Crest White strip that you put on for 30 minutes a day for 20 days, and I do it every 3-4 years.
Dude, those hurt my gums.
Well, then don't put them on your gums, bitch. What are you doing?
They hurt my teeth. They hurt my teeth.
Then you need to be using Sensodyne or a better toothpaste, because I don't know what is wrong with your enamel if it's zapping and hurting you at that fresh, plucky young age you're at.
I remember the first time I tried a Crest White strip, I was like, what the fuck is this? This is uncomfortable. I'm salivating. They might come in handy right before you go down on someone.
It sounds like it.
But, yeah. So, anyhow, hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Bring It to the Runway with your two favorite faggots, Christian Ochoa
and Robert Mata. Bitch, don't try to say my name for me.
No, I was going to say, and da-da-da-da.
No, I don't need all the da-da-da-da-da. I got it myself.
She is the ra-da-da of all Matas, okay? The ma-da-da.
It's actually a lot of them. Could you imagine like 50, 60, 80 versions of me all in one family reunion?
Robert Mata-da-da. That's the new introduction, bitch. Sign off below if you're here for the bullshit.
No one's here for that.
Except today we do have someone who is exceptionally here for the bullshit. And he is so excited to get up in the geesh. And by geesh, we means bag of chips, okay?
Ew, girl. Wait, I have to keep that for myself.
Keep it for yourself, because today we will be going over the first episode of the debut of UK versus the what?
World
Star. Okay, so the star of today's show is our guest on the pod. This is the first episode where Robertina and I are joined by a special guest, our hometown gal. Damn, sis, I can't believe how many hometown bitches we've been talking about.
And I think we're going to have to rename Modesto at this point. So I don't know. Like, I don't know Spanish well enough to flip it.
Amigas?
No, just bitches.
Perras. Escándalo. Okay, well, let's not forget the first Latina that really brought Latin iconography to Drag Race is not Valentina. No. It was Jinx Monsoon.
Okay, you better back it up several seasons, bitch. Jinx Monsoon did give us a perfectly acceptable Día de los Muertos look, but I would have to say Jade Sotomayor is probably the first one to really give us Latino realness if we're not including Rebecca Glasscock.
I was gonna
coming
say,
in fucking jeans, and my favorite look ever.
Tammy Brown.
Tammy Brown is definitely a friend to the Latinas.
Nina Flowers.
Well,
girl, there was a lot of Latinas on season one.
Well, yeah, that's why they have that filter, because it just really felt like a telenovela at the time. Like something that I would watch in my abuela's house, and we were just getting down. I didn't understand more than half of the things that was said, but I was into it.
Well, just like this pod, you guys may not understand half of the things we talk about. But today we do have a dear guest. Please introduce yourself, my bestie. From my hometown, Marcos. Hello.
Hello, world. Marcos Cortez here.
Bitch, this is not a phone sex operator operation.
She's an NPR, bitch.
Yeah, you're giving NPR, and I need you to give us WOW Presents Plus, bitch.
Plus.
Okay. I think I can do that.
Okay, well, introduce yourself, your relationship to us. How long have you been watching Drag Race for? Give us all the tea, your favorite queen.
Ooh, okay. Great. So, hi, world. It's Marcos Cortez in the house. Thank you so much for having me, Christian and Robert.
Marcos Cortez in the blouse.
In the blouse. but yes, for everyone out there, I am from kind of the same hometown. I would say same area. I'm not from Ceres, like Christian and Robert. But in a way, I kind of feel like I did go there because
I'm from San Diego.
Yeah, well.
Robert, but you're not from San Diego. Stop spreading those false rumors about yourself.
Like fully on my birth certificate. But whatever, it's not a fucking cartography lesson. Sorry, Marcos.
No, it's okay. I guess how I should say it is when I first met Christian at junior college, along with the rest of his friends, they were all from Ceres High, and I was the only one from, you know, Escalon area. And, you know, I kind of was a little bit nervous about the girls that were from Ceres because I just have my own judgment on them, but...
Elucidate. Tell us precisely what you thought and why is Escalon that much
Should
better?
I tell them the little story?
Tell them? Okay, you guys, this motherfucking faggot did not like me at all when he first met me. But, well, I can't believe it because we're best friends 10 years fucking later, bitch. But, like, literally, you... I remember vividly you telling our friends in class that I had just made... Oh my God, Christian invited you to a series party? Don't go. It's ghetto.
I did say that and I regret that.
And you weren't wrong, but...
You guys, keep in mind, the friend that I was with, we were both on the whole different side of town. And so we don't really go that south of, you know, when we're going to parties and stuff like that. We usually stick to our own district.
I didn't know y'all had parties in Escalon or whatever it was.
Oh, we do. Yeah. We
have little cow tipping parties or what?
No, seriously. How are you talking about the other side of town? It's all a podunk town. Like, what is the tea?
I think it's just because everybody's so used to their, like, their own schools, you know. Their corner, you know, the Modesto City schools. And you have, you know, Escalon, Riverbank, and, you know, Oakdale. So, keep in mind, Oscar was from Manteca. So, Modesto was as furthest as he went. So, he didn't know what he was going to get himself with series.
That bitch grew up on the water slides.
She did.
So yes, everyone, Marcos has been watching Drag Race just as long as I have. We fucking love the show. I would say Marcos watches and consumes more Drag Race than I do. He watches every fucking franchise. Have you not?
What I have?
Which Drag Race show, like, have you not watched?
I have watched every single one.
Queen of the Universe.
Queen of the Universe.
Italia.
Mm-hmm.
Canada season 2.
Thailand, all with subtitles, obviously.
Holland season 2.
Yes.
Oh, Miss Vanessa Van Cartier.
There's a reason I have a Well Presents Plus account that you're actually using.
Oh, you're pricing a latte on access, bitch. You cash in.
This is true, y'all. Robert, I mean, let's be honest. I watch Drag Race season 14 on Robert's Amazon Prime account, and I watch you. UK versus the world on Marcos's login. If you want to help my poor skinny twink self, please donate, cash at me, or Venmo me. You guys know my Instagram handle.
At rob54.com.
.com.
It evens out though, girl, because I'm watching Euphoria and just like that on your HBO account.
Yeah, so. Bitch, and my HBO account is more expensive.
They should pay us to watch and that just like that. Honestly. Oh, yeah.
I will hate watch and just like that until the end, really. I just...
Why when you can watch something genuinely like good like Abbott Elementary? Mm.
I don't know what that is.
Get into it, bitch.
Like Doja Cat?
No, not at all.
We'll talk about it later. All right, well, first we will be reviewing the Queen's entrance looks, starting with the one and only Bag of Chips. Bag of Chips is giving us Princess Diana realness. She is wearing a crown, this feathered blonde hair, this soft mug, and she has on a white dress, not hitting the floor, just above the ankle, and this little Chanel old lady tweed moment with her jacket and a diamond cross. How are we feeling about this look, Robert?
Me?
Yeah.
Well, I have to say, I think we're at the point where Princess Diana was not really a part of our lifetimes, and so I'm a horrible, heinous person to say this, but Baga is definitely giving Princess Diana after the accident. I am not exactly sure.
The swelling, or is it the swelling?
It was the impact. Bag of Chips' face is smushed like a pancake. She had no attempt to sculpt it, and she gave us a dress equally unshaped. I don't understand why Bag of Chips is allowed to terrorize television's nation, now internationally wide, and that's all I'll say for that. Marcos, how are you feeling?
You know what? During her season in UK, we can't take Baga really that seriously. So the look I felt like was very campy and kind of on brand for her. I don't think she did it to look super elegant. I definitely think she was being campy. I will say though, I wasn't a big fan of her makeup. I don't know if it was the lighting or what it was. It was a little too harsh, I will say for sure. But just like, you know, later on, as you guys will see in the workroom, like Juju B said, it looks like an auntie going to a wedding. So I think she said it best, to be honest.
Okay, so I kind of have a different opinion. I actually like Baga. I think she's funny. She's charming. I love chips. And I actually...
Do you like British chips? Do you know what British chips are?
French fries?
Yes.
Yeah, of course.
Word, girl. Okay.
I love all chips. All right. I don't discriminate. And I actually think it's really funny that she's making this Princess Di reference, because she's clearly not Beauty and Grace, and but she is beloved, you know? With the UK girls, I think she's definitely one that stood out and everyone remembers from the UK franchise of gals. And yeah, I mean, Bag is never gonna go for elegance. Let's be real. I think this is very on brand for her. She is pumped, bitch. I mean, talk about a bitch that has been pumped in the face. It's definitely serving pillow. And I actually think she has such a soft mug. Like, I think the paint is not that harsh. I think she's blended and she really does look like a tia. She's giving Paquita del Barrio a little bit. Rata de dos patas.
Daring.
Okay.
But she's serving pillow.
She's pillow face.
Sending me. That's the funniest shit ever.
I was a little bit confused. I'm like, pillow or like willow she's pill? Or
pillow face is when they're super puffy in the face and they're starting to look like an almohada.
I wish I knew pillow brands. Like, what's the one with the S or the C?
Casper?
Sealy.
No, bitch. That's
Serta.
Serta.
They make pillows too.
I do know. Are you their marketing man, bitch? You want to tell me about their fucking sheets and other fucking throws?
All right, gal. Next, we have Miss Blue Hydrangea giving us this slime Nickelodeon moment. This very intricate costume. She has on a full blue tealish morph suit. And she has this neon green dress with these like long phalanges dangling, kind of looking like a rock K formation. And then she has on these super tall platform red ankle heels with like orchid ostrich feathers coming out. She has feathers on a shoulder, and she has on this crazy tall lime Marge Simpson silhouette updo. What did you think, gal? Starting with Robert.
Blue Hydrangea. Blue Hydrangea is a queen that we all know can really turn a look and has an eye for detail and has a really excellent way of executing precisely the vision in her head. I don't know what compelled her to pursue this particular vision in her head. I think it looks great. I think she's blue. Good for her. We get the name. All is well. But the neon updo is not really working for me. The neon color palette in general is not something that I find particularly aesthetically pleasing. See Deja Sky. And the shoes are rather clunky. That said, I am excited to see what blue has to offer in general.
All right, Marcos.
I actually really love this look. You know, I did follow Blue actually on Instagram right after Drag Race UK, and she does always seem to step outside of the box. When I saw this, my first thought was, you know, Club Kid, very James St. James and from Party Monster. The colors, the makeup, it's just fun. It's very, you know, New York, you know, Club Kid in the 80s, 90s. Also with the mix of a little bit of Trolls on an acid trip, you know, with the hair and everything. And I'm here for it. I think it's fun. It's vibrant. It's something great for the first entrance look. And I'm stoked to see what else she's going to bring to the runway.
Yeah, I thought she was very unique in her approach to her entrance look. She clearly stood out. I mean, the bitch knows how to paint and turn a look for sure. I think it's a very elaborate costume. I don't mind it, but I'm not in love with this troll doll hair either. I think I don't mind it here, but bitch, I don't really... We'll get into it when we critique their runway looks, but it's like, okay, girl, here it is. We get it. Please don't do it again. You know what I'm saying? There's only 6 fucking episodes. Let's show some versatility, gals. It's 2022. Time to get more versed.
Well, I actually have one point to get into. Everyone always references acid trips to be these loopy sort of concepts that, oh my God, neon colors, acid. Oh my God, a curve, acid. Oh my God, something long and elongated. That's redundant, but acid. what I don't know what other people are seeing on their acid trips that makes them draw that correlation.
Well, I'll be honest, I've done it only once.
Well, legally.
Legally. And I just, for me, things kind of stood out a little bit more. They're a little bit more vibrant, a little bit fuzzy, nothing scary, nothing intense, but vibrant was like the first kind of thing to come to mind.
Oh my God. I just remembered the only time I've done acid was with Robert. He gave me a tab.
Oh my God. The time that you saw stars for the first time in your life.
Yes. And I remember we went outside to get the Uber to go to Rhonda.
Yes. And you fucking sang us a soliloquy about the genius and beauty of the grand outdoors and how could there be so much space out here?
I remember looking up at the dark sky and being like, wow, the sky is so loud.
It was just you hearing yourself.
Bitch, that shit was so funny. Okay, moving on, we have Miss Cheryl Hull wearing this hot pink boa situation with more dangly boa pink ostrich phalange applications. She has on this blonde updo. She has on a serious showgirl nude illusion paneled with hot pink stone for filth catsuit. What do you think?
I think Cheryl looks great. I think Cheryl's sort of giving us J-Lo hustlers. I think she missed out by Night of a Thousand J-Los by a touch. But she's giving us a very pink... Wow, what a clear fucking reference there. But it's a monochromatic pink idea that fits her personality, which is up, peppery... what's the word? Perky and upbeat. And that's exactly what the look is giving me. I would actually pump this look because I think that Cheryl came across exactly as she wanted to in a way that is understandable to the general audience.
Let's be real. She's the Alyssa Edwards of the UK.
She thinks she is, though, and that's a little grating because Alyssa Edwards just was Alyssa Edwards.
T.
Cheryl's doing a bit where she really thinks she is.
Right.
But she's still fun enough to watch.
Right. I completely agree. I think she's really talented. Marcos, what did you think?
What's funny that you bring up Alyssa Edwards because, you know, when she first came out, I was like, I can't put my finger on her. I can't put my finger on it, but there's something about her mug that just reminds me of someone. And then she did the tongue pop. Mm-hmm. So you guys see that? And I'm like, Alyssa Edwards. And I, you know, it's a positive thing. I mean, Alyssa's always turning a look. The face is always right, the hair is always right, and this just looks great on Cheryl. I mean, the color looks great on her skin tone, the hair updo, it's great, it's giving Vegas showgirl. I love mm-hmm. it. I'm here for it. It works just perfect.
Yeah, I think it's a great entrance look for her. She's a dancer. This is very much an elevated showgirl dance costume. She looks really, really pretty. And talk about another pumped mug. That bitch is serving pillow, another pillow face. Next, we're moving on to Janie Jacquet from Holland Season 1. Janie is serving a full teal monochromatic latex fantasy, starting from this middle part bone straight wig. You know, she has the teal eyeshadow. She has on a latex bodysuit, opera length gloves, matching suspender and harness, and garter belts going down to these thigh-high latex stockings and pleaser heels. What do you feel about this look?
I think Janie looks good. There's no doubt that everything's in place and exactly as she wanted it. I just don't know why she wasn't more ambitious for an entrance look, particularly, well, I guess she didn't know that she was the only one representing Drag Race Holland, but I think that they maybe at least could have hinted it towards her, so she knew that she needed to show out just a little bit more to give us that old Olympic, you know, country tour grand sort of moment that she's unfortunately not giving us here. She's just giving us Tuesday night at the bar. It's a nice Tuesday night, but this is UK versus the world.
See, I didn't watch Drag Race Holland, but Marcos did. And what can you tell us about Janie Jacquet?
Yeah, great question. I was a big fan of hers on Holland, and she made it to about, if I'm not mistaken, she made it up to 5 episodes before she got...
No, she was runner-up.
She was runner-up. She was runner-up. So she was top 4, two. She was top two. But she always, something that she always incorporated in her looks was that very sexy, sinful type look. And I think that she's really going to bring that to UK versus the world. Kind of agree. I mean, I love this look. It's giving very S&M dominatrix realness, but like also
very Amsterdam.
Very Amsterdam. But like Robert said, I feel like this would have looked great as like a reveal, like maybe if she had something over it and then she would have taken it off on the runway. I think it would have made it a little bit more polished, especially since, you know, she's the only one representing her, you know, Holland. So
her Holland.
Her Holland.
Well, my Holland is engorged.
Clean it up, girl.
Anyways, so yeah, Janie, you know, not familiar with her work. Definitely looks great, but a very basic compared to the rest of the girls.
I actually thought it was Lemon finally bucking the yellow idea.
Well, girl, just wait. Give us one more second because we will be getting to Lemon.
Let me cross
shortly.
My legs.
But first, we have Miss Jimbo the Bimbo Clown. Jimbo has on this red Afro puff wig, you know, modern take on her clown aesthetic. She has on this gorgeous jumpsuit paneled in this beautiful shade of blue and scarlet red and golden yellow. It's making this sunburst effect on her coochie. She is cinched for filth, has on this dramatic collar, choker, necklace, beaded crazy platforms. The trousers are flared. Jimbo is serving elevated clown with all the primary colors. What did you think, Robert?
I loved that she pulled it back to the 60s, the 70s, the hippie love, peace, harmony, all of that. Flower power is referenced in one way or another. It is all the standard colors, but I still think that Jimbo knows how to use colors. It's something she proved in the first episode of Canada, where she was assigned the rainbow box and she had to assemble a look out of hundreds of zip ties, I think it was, or something of the sort. But I think Jimbo's giving us the tits she likes to give, the harsh makeup that she likes to give, the hair that she likes to give, and it's exactly quintessential Jimbo. What is there to dislike?
I actually think her mug got better. I think her mug is a lot more blended. I think her makeup used to be very harsh, and I think that's something she definitely stepped her game up with. And, you know, we know Jimbo designs all their pieces, makes all their pieces. I mean, the bitch is so talented.
Well, I do have some tea for that later.
Ooh, okay. Marcos, what do you think?
So excited for Jimbo. I know when she came out on Canada's Drag Race, I kept raving to you about her, Christian. Mm-hmm. Remember? Like, I was like, she is going to...
Who were our top three Canada girls? Priyanka, Jimbo, and Lemon.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was so sad that Jimbo left sooner than expected.
Totally.
And something that I remember Christian was bringing up was that, you know, I don't think she expected that her time was so limited when doing makeup, you know, during her season. So, you know, just like a lot of girls learn, you know, they always seem to be elevated and step their pussy up, you know, when it comes to being on the show again, whether it's for All Stars or in this case, UK versus the world. And I think Jimbo looks amazing. Yes, obviously, just like every other girl, she's gotten a little bit more filler, but it looks great on her. It doesn't look overdone. Love the bright colors. And it reminds me of her, you know, the entrance of, you know, Canada's Drag Race, where she was also a clown, but black and white. So she's just switching it out a little bit and just giving us full color.
Okay, color story. We're on the other side of the Wizard of Oz.
Yes.
Those RuPaul brownie points,
absolutely.
Bitch. Your Ginger Minj giving the fucking monologue on All Star 6. Look at my ruby heels, bitch.
Well, yeah, I mean, Jimbo's definitely one of my favorite queens of all the franchises, especially when it comes to aesthetics. I love how she elevates clown, camp, costume, all of it. I'm definitely a huge fan, and I think she looks absolutely exceptional. Next, we are moving on to Lemon, referencing her entrance look, which is a reference to Rihanna's Go Pay golden canary dress for the Met Gala a few years back. And she is wearing a short silhouette, a dress, legs out. I mean, she is a short gal, and she has on this huge yellow bow in the back, leading to a train behind her. What do you think, Lemon, head to toe?
I wish I liked the color yellow more. Lemon's a great personality, a fine drag queen, but I feel like we read the shit and everyone read the shit out of Tina Burner for her McDonald's palette, and Lemon is just giving me Sunny Sunshine Baby from the Teletubbies palette every single time, and I don't understand exactly why. But then at the same time, I also read, who was it? Someone else for maybe not representing themselves the best way. So Lemon is giving us a very marketable Lemon look. I just wish there was more juice with the squeeze.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I mean, okay, girl, entrance look and let it be the entrance look. You know, don't be a one note Lemon.
No, and you love urine yellow, as you said before.
I do love urine yellow blonde. I do love urine.
And you
blonde.
Look gorgeous in it, like always.
Having yellow hair is not an excuse to have flat yellow hair. Every time.
I don't know. I think she looks absolutely exceptional.
I think she has the same exact wig that she wore when she got sent home in Canada's Drag Race. Mm.
It's a little better this time.
It's okay. Maybe one more comb. Marcos, what did you think about Limon?
So, Robert, you like read my mind. I had pretty much... I had definitely the same thought. I think... Lemon is absolutely adorable. I think she's super cute. Loved her on her season. Very similar to what you said, though, Robert. I think she's making it her brand and her personality. And let's be honest, yellow really isn't all that. And I think that her looks are great, but then just being to expect yellow every single time in a different shade, in a different shape, in a different... you know, material, it gets old, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Just like you said, Tina Burner, it's like the orange and yellow, right? Orange and yellow?
Something of the sort.
Something of
the
sort.
On that side of the rainbow, yes.
Yes, it gets overdone, and it's the judges are going to read her to... maybe, I mean, especially Michelle Visage, she loves her colors, so I just hope she doesn't make it her personality.
Well, we already know that she does.
Well, yeah.
Moving on to Miss... Pangina Heels. Oh. I just want to say the bitch that I've been so the most excited to root for on this show. She is giving us classic Thailand. Miss Thailand. Miss fucking Universe, right? That's what it's called.
1988.
Yeah, she's serving 1988. And talk about a reference and sticking to it. I love that she entered... with such a strong reference. I mean, it is obviously hella ugly and old school.
How dare she
make it look so fucking fun and good? The hair, that mug, I mean, everything. I live for this bitch. What do you think, Robert?
I think Pangina is flawless. There is not a single thing to critique here. I think that she was already an A+, and then she gave us the perfect presentation of the up look and then the smile with all of her perfectly fucking placed teeth. And she just gave us such a radiant entrance. And I'm so happy that she did everything that she did with this entrance and let everyone know that you're not a punk ass bitch for coming back as a contestant, even if you're a judge. And for not putting all this random shit that's like thrown or like sort of, what's the word? Just people ignore Thailand so much, I feel.
Yeah.
You know, the subtitle issue is a barrier for many. The idea that it's all Asian people might be a barrier to many. But they're the OG spinoff of Drag
That's
Race.
That's true. They're the original.
Even like we should, you know, commend them for that. But even beyond that, those girls fucking send it. Every single time.
And they're Pangina, definitely overlooked.
And Pangina tells them when they're doing good and when they're not. And so I just think that she told us all right now why she is a judge.
Marcos, I have some words for you.
Lipstick for your life! You better cut that shit. I will not be a part of a podcast that has that bullshit-ass accent in there. You hear me?
That wasn't an accent, girl.
I heard it.
That's how I talk.
Good. That's how you talk.
I am so excited to see Pangina on this show. Just like Robert said, and kind of like what you said, Christian, I feel like a lot of people slept on Thailand. I mean, it was on Wild Presents Plus, but I feel like a lot of people skipped it. And I'm going to be 100% honest. It probably is one of my favorite franchises.
Yeah, you've always said that.
I've said that from the beginning, and I think it is hilarious. The queens are themselves. The judges are themselves. They don't... It doesn't feel produced to the, you know, too much. It doesn't feel forced. It feels very, very natural. And not only art, but Pangina was one that would tell them how it is. And, you know, they would... She would make sure that the girls would... You know, get it and make sure that they fix it for the next runway. Look wise, gorgeous. Christian knows I'm not, and nobody come for me, but I'm just not a fan of pageant queens. But her bringing that to the runway, it kind of made me into pageant queens.
That was the apex of pageantry.
Yeah.
Like the zenith of traditional beauty.
No, absolutely. I agree. I'm just not.
That's why he's saying that it's like turning him on.
Exactly.
Get into it.
Yeah, but she's making me get into it, and I'm here for it.
I just have one thing to say about Pangina Heels. Every time her confessional comes up, I get so horny. Pangina makes me so fucking wet. I will bottom, I will top, I will open any hole you want. It is, he's hot. He is so fucking fine.
Oh, for sure. Are you letting that influence your thoughts of Pangina the drag queen?
No.
Party.
Well, yeah.
Party.
No, but actually, I just know this bitch. I know that this bitch owns a club, and I know that, that the Thailand girls bring fucking drag. They're not afraid. Those bitches set themselves on fire. Those bitches do the stunts, the tricks. Everybody says all the Rue girls from back in the day have toured all over the world have said like the Asian countries have some of the fiercest fucking drag that they've seen. It is very fearless and it is very bold. And I think countries like that, you know, I kind of compare it a little bit to Mexico. Like the entertainment, the live entertainment that you get in these countries. Baby, I'm sorry, America, bye. Because, like, these girls are on a low budget, low production value, and they will fucking turn the party so hard. Just as hard as J-Lo at the Super Bowl, you know what I'm saying? So, I think Pangina is definitely the one to be for the show. Next, we have Mo Hart. Monique Hart is out here in this gorgeous, crazy, neon, lime, crunchy, curled wig. Obviously, it's not meant to be pretty. It is a reference. It is a look. She's giving us that fucking mug, and she's giving us this insane, voluminous, half holographic jumpsuit with a huge lavender crinoline, like, shoulder piece and ball skirt. I mean, talk about a grand entrance look. How do we feel about it?
I love that you love it so much. I wish I shared the same passion for it, to be honest. I do really love the reference that the wig is giving us with the, you know, woman just woke up in the middle of the night to see that her husband's packing her bags, his bags, to go with the mistress. But I don't quite love everything else from the neck down. It's just a little disparate and doesn't really make a specific statement about what kind of outfit it is. Nor what does it say about Monique. Unless she likes to be out of sort of a thorough line there.
I mean, I personally do think she looks very extra. Like, I do think it's a little much, but I think she's also just trying to make the best of her time on television. And I mean, to deny that this is not polished and that this isn't an avant-garde look, I mean, the bitch looks like a cartoon villain. You know what I'm saying? She's giving us a dope fantasy. I'm just saying she looks larger than life and she looks very animated. It's giving cartoon. You know, your hair doesn't grow neon green out of your head and nobody walks around in clothes like this. But she definitely is serving me some type of a fantasy. I think the color palette is beautiful on her. This iridescent jumpsuit with the way that the lavender fabric is reflected under the lights. I think it makes your skin tone look even more beautiful than it does. And I think she just looks stunning. But I do think she's very extra. And I do think she came through with a really, like, bad American attitude. You know what I'm saying?
Oh my God,
like, I'm
better than everyone. And
I don't fuck with y'all.
But Marcos, what do you think about Monique's look?
I don't think she was arrogant.
We'll get to her. Uh-huh. Marcos has to give his thoughts, bitch.
I liked it. It is very Monique. Oh, I'm sorry. Not Monique. Mo Hart. I forget. She changed her name.
It's Monique at this point.
Monique.
True.
She was introduced as Monique.
Yeah, she was introduced as Monique. Her look was great. I liked the color palettes that meshed together. You know, the bright green with the purple. I kind of do agree with Robert. The dress portion of it was a little, I feel like it didn't mesh well, but when you guys see later on in the workroom when she removes it, I actually like that. Like, the just like kind of like the bodysuit. So I do wish she would have taken that off when she came in.
Yeah, the jumpsuit's beautiful.
The jumpsuit's gorgeous. So I kind of wish she would have taken that off. Other than that, I think she looks amazing. I like the glasses. The beat is there. And she'll bring it this season. I'm excited.
Next, we have our beloved Jujubee. Jujubee is wearing, Cher black 42-inch. Bitch, I used to have this wig and I lost it.
Yeah, you wore it when you worked at Sunglasses Hut at the mall with Jujubee.
What are you talking about? Here we go, bringing up the past yet again. Yes, that was my first job out of high school. I worked at Sunglasses at the mall. I worked there for 4 years, you guys.
Damn, bitch.
My longest job.
After 4 years of high school? Never mind, I was going to say something.
Say it, bitch.
Oh, I had a degree at the end of my 4 years. But you had a...
You had a degree. Care? You had a degree...
No 1K cents in the bank, bitch.
You know what? We're going to talk about my retail career later. Okay, well,
do we have a podcast that could fit all of that long and storied history?
Girl, I don't even remember all the fucking jobs I've had, girl. I've had jobs for 2 hours and me just being like, I'm not folding jeans at a fucking table all day. Bye. And girl, just walk out. But Jujubee is serving us classic Jujubee. She's giving us just a very simple black one-shoulder cocktail dress with this black sequin scaled dragon figure on the front and a nude mesh panel on the side. Very simple, safe cocktail, but honestly, bitch, it's Jujubee, girl. Like, it's her. And I think my favorite thing about the looks, I think as long as it's very you and it looks good, I can't hate on you. You know, it's an entrance look. Some girls wanted to be super extra about it. And some girls came in just looking really good. And obviously, Jujubee is super polished. And I mean, her face, you guys, it's like every time she comes on screen, I'm like, how do you get prettier? Like, bitch, you're getting older and you're like only looking better. I think that's such a talent in itself. What do you think, guys?
It just feels like she walked into Love and Hip Hop. And that's not a bad thing.
Hell no.
It's just not Drag Race.
It's giving Jocelyn's Cabaret.
That is so rude.
Jocelyn.
Just Jocelyn, period. No, her tits aren't big enough for that. But you're right. And ultimately, to a degree, that Jujubee does do this, and it is classic Jujubee. I don't know that it should be celebrated. I think people are probably nearing the end of their rope with Jujubee giving us the same thing that she's given us in season 2. I also adore and love Jujubee.
Girl, she did not. This is definitely a step up from season 2. Okay, All Stars was a step up from season 2. Girl, no. I thought she was kind of a hot mess on season 2. I loved her, but I didn't think she brought... I thought it was always about the face that always served, you know?
I think the woman that Jujubee portrays when she does drag, if she even, you know, goes down that mental path, has been the same person the whole time. It's been interesting that that person hasn't changed at all. But because I still love that person.
See, you know, RuPaul and a lot of queens say, you know, when you get in drag, it reveals the real you. When I'm in drag, when I put myself up in drag, I feel exactly the same. I don't talk different. I just walk with more confidence, but I wouldn't say that I feel like I'm exactly the same. I'm Christian, it's just another expression of my identity. It's just another chance to play dress up and just show a different side of me. And I think Jujubee is literally the same in and out of drag.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot to be said there. I don't think
it's a character.
I did not mean to imply that Jujubee in drag is like some kind of false persona that's manufactured, but merely that I think Jujubee's elevated self has not elevated further.
Well, yeah, because you could tell Jujubee is very confident in Jujubee. And she's like, bitch, I'm here. I've been on every fucking thing ever. She was on fucking Queen of the Universe, UK versus the World, mm-hmm. All Stars 5?
5.
And All Stars 1, mm-hmm. and fucking Drag Race Season 2. I mean,
she even had a cameo in All Stars 2 and in Season 10. Probably others were. As well.
Yeah, I think she had other. I think
she was on the Christmas special too. To be honest.
Yeah, I watch that Christmas special every Christmas. Like, not like dedicatedly, it's but personally like my least I put it on in the background, and I'm like, yes, bitch, Angela, you better try it.
Ho ho ho!
All right, but Marcos, what are you? You're a longtime Jujubee fan. I believe.
Yeah, I have always had a soft spot for Jujubee. This, like you guys said, this is classic Jujubee, and we as fans expect this. But that's the thing. Knowing that she knows that we expect this, it would have been fun had she turned it out and maybe tried something a little bit larger than life. Because to be honest, these look, I mean, she looks like, you know, one of like the older, you know, ladies that would shop in BB when Christian and I used to work
there. She definitely looks like my client that I styled at BB back in the day.
At BB Zahara Benet?
Yeah.
We had the number one selling heel in America at one point was the Sahara.
Davenport?
No, it was called Zahara. Like the fucking heel was Zahara. Called the Zahara.
Oh my god, that's why she named herself off of these pumps?
I don't know if she did. BB Zahara Benet name herself after the store
and heels? She was eating a beignet at the time and she just thought, bitch, that's my name.
Maybe so. Well, you know, that wraps up the lineup of queens and their entrance looks. After this break, we will be critiquing their runway looks. Stay tuned.
Bye.
Welcome back, everyone. So, any standouts on the talent show? I just want to know the gals' quick thoughts on the talent show. Personally, my favorite was Pangina Heels. Obviously, the bitch ate. And I absolutely don't agree that Lemon should have been on the fucking bottom. I really don't think so. No offense. The girls who sang, they weren't necessarily my favorite. And I hate to say this, but I would argue that Jujubee's was the most lackluster performance out of all of them. What do you think, gals?
I agree with you, Christian. Jujubee's was my least favorite.
Yeah, Jujubee's and Janie JK.
Janie JK, but at least Janie JK was a little bit more visually original. Appealing. It was a little bit more original. Jujubee, it was not it. I thought it was very boring. I thought she looked kind of boring. It put me to sleep. I wasn't a big fan. I would say top two. Lemon, I loved hers, even though she looked a little dead in the eyes, like the judges told her, but it reminded me a lot of Aja's, but a little bit more elevated.
Bitch, you're crazy.
Yeah, Lemon's was definitely not top two material.
Sorry, I Lemon's liked it. Fully was bottom two. Lemon did not hit a single beat in that song. Her arms were like noodles, very lightly, if barely, extending to their proper length. She is a trained dancer from Alvin Ailey, which is the premier dance school. She reminds us practically every fucking season. I mean, it has been two seasons. Did she remind us this season?
But let's
regardless, she did not do the dance. She did. Yeah. She was rehearsing. For the first time, it seemed, her face was looking at a virtual mirror in front of RuPaul, and she wasn't giving us anything that I would expect a professional dancer or a professional drag queen to have given us at that point in time.
Yeah, when I was on a dance team, never gonna forget facials. Don't forget your face! Facials! We'd get yelled at while we were practicing. Like, your fucking face looks dead, bitch. Give us some emotion. And that is my biggest critique for Lemon. But I definitely don't think it was bottom two. I still think it was high energy. Yeah. I mean, it is definitely something we kind of have seen before. I do agree with Michelle. And I do understand why you're referencing Aja, but girl, Aja gave high energy from the fucking synthetic wig to the toes, bitch.
She had a fucking samurai sword. Yeah. She had a yellow outfit.
Three outfit reveals. Like, I mean, that's one of my most favorite performances on Drag Race history, was Aja's all-star performance. But,
Well, now that we've given our impartial, fair, unbiased opinions about one of your top two, who's the other one?
Pangina. For sure.
Okay, good.
Yeah, and I get it. I know Lipman could have done a lot better, but it was just fun to watch. You know, it was aesthetically pleasing, but Pangina turned it out. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you guys, but her muscles and that dress were just, I mean, she has a body, oddy, oddy.
Damn, girl, you're horny.
And I'm here for, oh, hell yeah.
Are you kind of straight now? Like, you were, like, are you down for, like...
Like, if Pangina was in drag and,
yeah,
like, fuck, like, wanted to fuck me? Oh, maybe just for her.
I know. Actually, I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, maybe I would bottom for Pangina and fucking drag. Like, I don't even give a fuck.
In drag and out of drag. Preferably out of drag.
Yeah. Just because, it gets messy. For sure. But definitely, I think it would be, like, honestly, I've never felt that way.
You don't want foundation spread between your cheeks?
No. I feel like I'd get butt acne, which I'm prone to, so I have to be careful.
And one thing I wanted to add in there, too, I actually wanted to mention it earlier. Oh, my God. It just got to my head, though.
Are you
going to
pop the zit if she gives me one with her foundation?
No, girl, I'm going to send you some salicylic acid and tell you to help yourself.
You're telling the esthetician you're going to send the esthetician blemish control.
Yeah, you fucking I'll do it again.
Just in relation to Pangina, she mentions it in her entrance when she's speaking about the Thai girls, is that they are perfectionists. All the detail is there. You will see it. They do not like to leave room for imperfections. And I saw that just with her first performance. And I know that she is going to be a showstopper. She's been a judge herself for 2 seasons.
So there's a lot of pressure there.
There's a lot of pressure there. I mean, a lot of these girls have never, been judged by RuPaul. At all.
True.
So
I think it's a conspiracy that the tops and the bottom twos were people who had not been judged by RuPaul.
Exactly. So I'm excited. This is going to be exciting.
Yeah. Very wild. Have you guys seen that clip from DragCon when all the queens are like posing with RuPaul for like the ribbon cutting or something? And it's Pangina there and she's meeting RuPaul for the first time and RuPaul's just like, oh cool, like so nonchalant. It's like, you're a bitch. Like,
you know, RuPaul did not remember that moment.
She did not remember
Pangina on the stage. She said she met our Aria like she was a little, like our Aria was a little fan.
Yeah, literally. It was kind of fucked up. So I think that being said, and all the pressure, the Thailand franchise being overlooked, Pangina definitely rose to the occasion. And I think a lot of these girls obviously are feeling a lot of pressure, but I mean, Pangina actually was able to come through. So moving on, wait, who do you think was the two worst, Robert?
The two worst, definitely Lemon. And okay, this is probably my bias showing, but even though Janie's was not good and probably it should have been a bottom three, I would say Bag of Chips actively made me turn from the screen and just kind of go to my phone.
See, I do think it should have been a bottom three, and I think Jujubee should have been in the bottom three, and I think Janie should have gone home.
Make it a bottom four then. Jujubee did not do good. Really, it was not a stellar talent show, which is the dominant narrative, so I'm not saying anything that everyone hasn't said or heard before, but yeah, I love these girls. I love eight of these girls though. So
who's the one that you don't love?
I've said it like 4 times, girl.
Who don't you love?
Miss French Fry.
Oh, Baga, yeah. All right. First, I just want to give a quick shout out to Mama Ru, motherfucking Paul. This unit. This bitch looks like such a fucking Barbie. Like she is. Her pussy's out, this crushed velvet ruched situation. I mean, she definitely saw Olivia Lux on her entrance and said, yep, that I will copy that. Give me one of those. Zaldi, get on it. Because we all know Rue gets inspired by the dolls. And then she's like, wait, I want to do that. Let's do something like that. Let's be real.
She should have taken Candy Muse's entrance look because I think that was a better look than Olivia's ill-fitting one.
Olivia Lux's entrance look was gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. That velvet ruched. It didn't fit her.
I agree.
Her waist was down to her knees.
Candy looked a lot better. I agree with Robert on that one. I mean, I wasn't an Olivia Lux fan at all. But
I would say that I'm definitely an Olivia Lux fan and not on the Candy Muse stand-up side. But facts.
The spirit of delusion is alive and well and present at this podcast recording. Moving on. First, we have Lemon's. What was the category? Remind me.
I'm a winner, baby.
I'm a winner, baby. I always forget the fucking category.
It's like the traditional drag.
I was going to say queen winning. Like queen love.
You made it, girl. Like that would get you a lot of yellows and greens on Wordle.
Well, Lemon is showing us her little lemons. I thought that was such a cute detail. It gives me a Vivian Westwood neckline, that spiky bust there. She has this train attached to this pencil skirt length, satin, yellowy, pissy, beigey tone. I will say I'm not a big fan of this color for sure. And I am very sick of her monochromatic hair down to her shoe. It's actually not doing her any favors because she's small and she's pasty. So she should definitely bring more tones and more warmth there. But I do think she looks absolutely gorgeous. She looks like a little doll, like a little Polly Pocket. What do you think?
I think she looks pretty. Like I said, it kind of reminds me a little bit of her entrance looks like. I think she looks gorgeous.
Anna Nicole Smith.
Yeah, Anna Nicole Smith. Sorry,
Slut
Smith. Apologies, I'm stuttering. But less slutty, for sure. A little bit more mature.
You speak ill of the dead.
Oh, well, I love her. I love.
You call Princess Diana a slut?
I mean, she may have been in a past life.
How dare.
I hope she was.
Queen herself talking shit.
Robertina, what do you think?
I think this is actually a great look. I think Lemon looks lovely. The white gold monochrome looks way better than the piss yellow. Yeah. I think that the crown fits great on her head. I can actually see her kind of being like a winner of like season 7 or 9 or one of those seasons that had a bunch of the junior queens on it. Or 13 or 14. But... I think she said that this was an elevation of her baby pageant look from the challenge that one of the challenges that she won in Canada's Drag Race.
Toddlers and tiaras.
And yes, the very, very that idea elevated and grown up. And I think she fucking looks so good. So proud of Limon. I just wish that the stage production wasn't so nasty with these. I don't know why the UK does these like. Open lights. IKEA lights that are unfortunately for Lemon the same general color tone as her dress, so she kind of gets lost in the like
on stage.
Yeah, it's just not working for her, sadly, but I think she looks great.
Yeah, I mean, there's no denying she looks exceptional, but yeah, I definitely see this like Barbie limited edition reference, you know, those like limited edition Barbies that you're not supposed to take out of the box, like that vibe. Next, we have Monique Hart giving us this emerald green moment. 180 yards of fabric. Monique, relax. I doubt it. That is like a shit ton of yards. Like, that's, I don't think so. But I mean, she gave us a very grand, voluminous silhouette. I mean, all I can say is she's giving us a big ass emerald green gown with a asymmetrical shoulder detail and this tall emerald green hat. I do love this color of green with copper hair. I think it's the most classic, beautiful color. Like, color blocking this is very hard because it could be Christmassy really easily. You know, it could be read Christmas, and it's actually the hardest colors for eyes to see and read are red and green next to each other. So that being said, I mean, bitch, wrapped, like, her skin tone in this. Talk about a limited edition Barbie, bitch. This is the one that I want. What do you think?
This is fucking incredible.
Mm-hmm.
She looks so damn flawless and good. I normally do not live for an asymmetrical shoulder poof, but I think here it works perfect.
Because she has the opposing thigh-high slit, and it's
giving her that balance. Yes, that is the perfect balance there. I love the headpiece. The hair, as you said, was a perfect compliment. It's sort of giving me a little bit of Poison Ivy. I love it.
Okay, Marky.
I love this look. I love how she's paying homage to her African heritage. The green just looks gorgeous on her. The garment looks heavy. It looks expensive. She just looks happy. She looks happy. She knows she looks beautiful. We all think she looks beautiful. It's perfect. It's great. If there was a gay Wizard of Oz, she would definitely be Oz. You'd be seeing
her. Yeah. Is the Wizard of Oz not gay?
I mean, that's true.
I didn't see him eating pussy.
Moving on, we have Janie Jacquet in this nude illusion, red lace applique, beaded, fringed with Swarovski ruby crystal, floor length mermaid tail gown. Long sleeve, backless, dripping in more red Swarovski crystal beads. What do you gays think?
I love this. Kind of similar to what I said earlier, you know, and kind of what we saw in Holland. Janie always likes to, you know, play that little sensual, sexual tension to her looks. This is actually one of the first times I think that I'm seeing short hair in her, and I think it looks great. Love the color. Love that the dress is Swarovski'd out. It's gorgeous. It's elegant. Simple but sexy. I like it.
I think she looks gorgeous in the face and the hair. So from the neck up, stunning. I think the body looks right. And not that I don't think... This is a perfectly fine look. But definitely in comparison to the other girls, absolutely basic. And red lace is very cheap looking, very tacky. It just reminds me of cheap Valentine's Day seasonal Victoria's Secret situation. I was really not a fan of this, I'm going to be honest. I think the color looks great on her, but not grand enough, doesn't scream queen to me. I think this is a really pretty dress, but it's really boring. Robert, what do you think?
I know that comparing queens is cardinal sin number one, but in this case, I think Janie JK really went to Trinity the Tuck's wardrobe and stole her dress, wig, and mug, and possibly nose job, because I don't fully understand why it is so simplistically pageant in a way that's not daring, that's not exciting, and is absolutely not a winner. It's flat, it's small, it's beautiful, but it's petite and not stunning.
And it doesn't necessarily tell us anything about her, you know?
No. Except that maybe she's a fan of Trinity the Tuck. And that'll make one fan.
Next, we have Robert's favorite queen of the season, Bag of Chips, serving us Oscar. And how funny that I brought up the Oscar reference, the Oscar trophy with Bosco last Saturday's episode of Bring It to the Runway. I definitely see Joan of Arc. She's serving a silver swimmer cap, floor-length mermaid gown with a silver peplum, like a bust. It kind of reminds me of Schiaparelli a little bit, and these shoulder accents and a big fucking Excalibur-looking ass sword situation. And then her face is painted gold.
Just chime gold. In, gal. No contouring, no structuring, just gold. Who needs
contour with all that filler?
I don't know. I think I do thank Baga for showing me that the Oscar trophy holds a sword. I had no fucking clue.
Wait, it does?
I've literally held Oscars and I have not noticed.
Wait, it does?
Yes, bitch, she's wearing it in her look. So I Googled it and I was like, does that bitch Oscar wear a sword? And that bitch has a sword. I don't know if it's Excalibur, maybe fucking Godric Gryffindor's sword, but Baga's is that fucking foamy ass sword you get from the toy section at Walmart. It's a mess. But she tried something, which is something to say for Baga. She usually doesn't go for anything even tangentially conceptual. And she's giving us something more iridescent and better than her standard matronly drunk bitch look.
When she came out of the runway, I just thought, what the fuck is this bitch wearing? I generally, but until she started explaining what she was doing, I thought it was like, oh, Tin Man. Like,
yeah, I thought it was like a knight in shining armor.
And I get why she did the reference, because obviously, you know, Oscar, you're a winner. I get it. And she explained that, and it was, you know, it made the judges laugh, but I am not here for this at all. It's just the face. It does not match the rest of what she's wearing. I get where she was going with it, but most definitely not one of my favorite looks.
So I actually like the garment itself, and I do like the styling. I think if she actually served a really, like, beat mug, like a red lip and a really beautiful face, it could have actually been really chic. It could have been, obviously this is very different than all the others. Honestly, I think I would like this on Janie JK. Like if Janie JK came out with this, with the mug that she served us, it would have been, whoa, okay, beach, elevated, edgy, different. Because I actually do like this. I just don't think Baga is necessarily fashionable enough or stylish enough or modern to really push these boundaries creatively in terms of looks. And unfortunately, she doesn't wear it well. But I do think the garment on its own is cool, and I do appreciate her for bringing us a really fun idea.
I think that if she had just worn a lash, it would have gone a long way.
That would have been, yeah, girl, this close up of her face, a lash, and maybe at least painted the lips a different color. Something. I completely agree with you, Robert.
Or at least made the gold paint match her gold iridescent bodysuit. Mm-hmm. Is that so hard? Well, yes, because apparently no one can match their skin tone to their nude illusions these days.
Right. Next we have, I think this is my favorite look of the night.
It's everything.
Jimbo's black and white evil queen clown fucking Cartoon Network logo. I don't even know what to say about this. It is just such a fucking fantasy. And then to bring in titties, bitch. From the neck up, it's giving me like a nightmare version of the Snow White evil queen. A little bit.
She is the nightmare version.
And it's just exceptional. I love black and white done well. I love stripes done well. Her body, I mean, she doesn't even look human, you know? She came out giving us a full fucking cartoon. And what I love is that it's still tied into her fucking weird alien pregnant white vinyl costume that she wore for her talent. And I did love Jimbo as well. I will say in the talent show, I did agree with Pangina and Bimbo. Jimbo being top two for sure. And I mean, holy shit, Jimbo. My only critique, the lip shape, she did give us a smaller lip, which I don't mind, but I wish the white was a little bit more profound just so they didn't get lost. That is me nitpicking. Other than that, best fucking look. One of the best fucking looks of Drag Race history of all times. I said it before, my favorite look of all time on Drag Race history was Violet Tchotchke crowning Bob the Drag Queen. This is second to that, I think. I believe this is at least in the top five of my all time, like all favorite Drag Race moments in terms of looks. Jimbo, holy shit. Thank you so much for, you know, serving us this beautiful nightmare.
Christian, I have to agree with you. This is my favorite look from all of the girls. It scares the fuck out of me in a good way.
Does it not look like a couture version of El Chacal from Don Francisco?
My God. Yes. Oh my goodness. That's what it is.
Sábado Gigante with Jimbo. Jimbo's taking over for Don Francisco when he dies.
Especially because he wears that long gown and little side note, that thing used to scare the living shit out of me.
El Chacal was scary.
It was definitely one of the scariest things.
Imagine if she came out with a trumpet.
That's all she needed. No, I love this look. I believe the reference was a chess player or like a chess piece.
Oh, a queen on a chess board.
So it would kind of reminded me a little bit of Alice in Wonderland, you know, when the cards, you know, come alive and things like that, but more of a nightmare version. I'm here for it. I love that she did the white contacts. It's spooky as shit, but I love it. The titties look great. They look very real. Because you know how sometimes when girls put on chest plates, they just don't go. And I'm glad that, I think that she, if she wanted to go daring, she could have painted her breastplates black. But I'm actually so happy she did it. It's great. I love it. I'm here for it. It's grand. It's what we wanted for this type of runway. And she's going to bring it this season.
Yeah, I will say the breastplate definitely humanized her and gave us it's like probably the single human element. And I love that it's cleavage. Yeah. Like, brilliant.
I think Tim Burton would be inspired by this look.
Or Guillermo del Toro.
Guillermo would as well. I think that it's just really such a stunning, incredible moment that I would be surprised to see if even something on the rest of the season of UK versus the World could top this. It was really, really fucking incredible. But here's the tea. I was disappointed to read that this was not designed by Jimbo. This was designed and sewn by Diego Montoya, who does a lot of the New York girls' looks, including many of everyone's favorite genius, Sasha Velour. You know, uses the intricate beading is usually a telltale sign, like that ornate design that exists on a lot of the corners of the look and the general use of curvature, all Diego Montoya signature traits of all the looks. So it's a great idea, and I think it really fulfills Jimbo's personality. It just sucks that this isn't entirely Jimbo's creation.
I actually think Jimbo collaborated with him because Diego Montoya, yes, his work is exceptional and I love it, but I think Jimbo encouraged him and collaborated on the design. I think a lot of the times queens do collaborate with designers, and I think Jimbo, having such a strong vision and aesthetic, was definitely telling and guiding Diego, and I think it was a strong collaboration in terms of design, and I think Diego made it in the atelier maybe, or his beaters or whatever, but I think at the end of the day, I do see a lot of Jimbo. And even if Jimbo didn't make it with her own hands, who gives a fuck? Like, the bitch still wore the fucking sickest thing ever.
It's sick as hell. No doubt. Yeah.
Moving on, we have Cheryl Hole wearing this huge Dolly Bump It fucking platinum blonde wig. And these big five-pointed gold stars on each shoulder. And she has these gold foiled rays coming through the hips. And she's wearing this mermaid short, high-low, mermaid awkward kind of length gown in white. Didn't live, girl. This was like second least favorite next to Janie Jacquet's, to be honest. She doesn't look bad, but I definitely don't think this is like, you are the queen. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't give me anything special. I didn't really care for it, to be honest, especially in comparison to everybody else. I feel like, imagine if you guys were getting ready and you're Miss Cheryl Hole in this and you're like, oh, bitch, I'm going to look so right. And then you see Jimbo and then you see fucking Monique and then you see fucking all these other bitches and you're like, oh.
Well, then you see Baga and you're like, well, it won't be the worst.
But at least Baga's is more memorable.
Memorable it is. I think this dress works for Cheryl at exactly precisely one angle. And it's not the angle that she often gets to showcase on the runway. It's when you can see that gold come to the left of her and the rest of her is sort of standing and towering above it. I guess probably, obviously, it's a fucking dress. But I don't think the hair really matches this dress. I don't think the hair matches Cheryl, even.
I don't like it.
It's a strange updo that it's just not a cohesive story. I don't feel winner at all. I definitely feel like, exactly, this is always the bridesmaids, never always the bridesmaid, never the bride type of get up.
Mediocre, her favorite word.
I was just going to say that. I feel like this is definitely one of the least, my least favorite looks from the runway. It's very safe. It's not bad, but it's definitely a safe look. Colors are cool. I like the train, the gold train. It wasn't bad, but yeah, it just was very simple and safe and a little bit boring. So I wish Cheryl would have kind of, brought it a little bit more. You know, I don't hate it, but I don't love it.
Yeah, not my favorite look of the night. Next, we have Jujubee, and another not one of my favorite looks of the night. She's giving us a high-low floor length, middle high-high slit, because she's showing off her black panty. Halter top, black, it's like a very deep, the color's pretty. It's a very deep plum, eggplant, more sequin gown lined in black with like this old school hair. As you can tell by the tone of my voice,
it's just
more disappointing the more I analyze it. Girls, chime in.
I will say this for Jujubee, I feel like this is elevated. So, love you, Jujubee.
This would have been a cute entrance look with the black hair.
I was just going to say that. But this is just giving very, senior prom queen. She was class favorite. I don't hate it, but like I said, for Jujubee, it's cute. I mean, she definitely stepped it up from her talent show look and her entrance look, so I'll give her that. But yeah, definitely one of my least favorites from the runway for sure.
I think I may be coming up with excuses, but I thought that
Okay, and bear with me here. I thought that Jujubee wore this like deep Merlot color to reference the purple and blue hues of space and the universe so that she could remind us that she was on Queen of the Universe.
Oh, okay.
I'm probably 20.5% wrong, but that's the storyline I decided to take from this, and therefore I think Juju looks perfectly adequate. The wig is not, unfortunately. I don't know what storyline was going on there, and I can't even construct one. But, you know, as we've said, we've all said it a million times.
Yeah. Yeah, so actually, I take it back. So it's Jujubee, Janie Jacquet. Janie Jacquet definitely looks better than Jujubee. Mm-hmm. So I think Jujubee is my least favorite. Then it's Cheryl, and then it's Janie. For, like, my, like...
Well, we're almost done.
Okay, next we have Pangina Heels in this beautiful traditional Thai. Bitch, I want some Thai food.
That's so bad. That's what you want?
That Tarong Thai spot. But the Thai spot literally right across from your apartment is open hella late here. Yeah, so I think I'm about to fucking order that. Pangina is wearing this gorgeous white traditional silhouette. It's a traditional dress to Thai culture, and this beautiful wrap going, you know, across from her waist to her shoulder and hanging down the back. And she said she had the Thai alphabet beaded onto the dress. I mean, bitch, just stone for filth. And that fascinator looks like it's very hard to balance. So I feel like that's why she wore this specific wig. One thing I will say, although I do think she looks absolutely incredible, I don't love the erasure of the eyebrows. I wish there was a little bit of a brow there, you know? Do I think the stoning detail on her face is gorgeous? Yes, but I think it was a bit much. It does give her goddess energy. I just haven't figured out if I love it as much in terms of, like, the eye makeup. But other than that, I'm just being nitpicky, you know?
You're deciding if you love the Thai goddesses?
No, the eye makeup.
Well...
because I liked everything else.
I do agree that the wig in another version of the look could have been better, and that the eye makeup also could have been a little bit more developed. But I'm pretty sure there's... probably some cultural reason context it, I'm missing here. Otherwise, I think it hits the divinity aesthetic that she was inspired by incredibly well. I think that it's maybe a little bit simple from the bottom down, rather the waist down, once we like look at it in segments. But as a whole, it's a very pleasing, like clean silhouette that is really timeless and cultureless. Well, you know, it's very cultured, but you know what I mean.
I think this dress had way more impact in person than it did on the cameras because of the lighting issue that you were discussing, Robert.
Yeah. I love this look. You know, Christian, you were saying that, you know, she had the eyebrow erasure and, you know, the wig that maybe didn't suit her too well, but I think she really was trying to portray that Thai goddess, and I believe it kind of has that look, so I think she really was trying to have that similar look. I really like that she's representing her home. And one thing that I think is great, being that maybe not that many American or UK viewers really watched RuPaul's Drag Race Thailand. So I'm glad that she's bringing this to the runway to kind of, you know, school us a little bit and bring Thailand to the runway. So I'm excited for this. I think she's going to incorporate Thailand culture a lot
beautifully.
Yes, throughout the season. So we'll see what she brings.
All right. And next we have Blue Hydrangea. Bitch, I keep forgetting I didn't like a lot of these looks, actually. Shit, Blue Hydrangea. Bitch! Talk about not understanding the assignment. And then she brings up the trolls reference. It's like, girl, not on the same episode, bitch. I'm tired of it. It's almost the exact same silhouette of the dress. I actually don't even like this look. I'm really tired of this alien shit. I think it just doesn't tell us who she is. I loved her look in the talent show. I thought she looked so gorgeous. I thought she looked very blue. I thought it was very... it told us about her personality, you know? I thought it was really cute. And then this, I'm just like, sis. What?
I, you know, it's... it's just meant for a different category. This does not scream best drag. It looks very similar, just in a different color scheme, you know, from her first look. And the thing is, she's... Blue's a gorgeous drag queen. And I completely think that she should have done something different, for sure. Like I said, it should have been for a different category, not best drag. So... definitely not one of my favorites for the specific runway. Do I think she looks good? I will add that. I think the mug is there. I think she looks great, polished. But as far as the overall look, not for this runway.
If the category was punk rock in Whoville, then maybe we'd have something more positive.
Not even, bro.
If we were watching Face Off or Skin Wars and the idea was that you need to reconstruct an entirely different body and image on top of what you got going on, then that would be a different conversation. But we were supposed to be looking at a winner who is a winner, baby, and I don't think that she's winning much of anything. It also, this is just something I'm noticing right now, but it almost looks like she's wearing that same sort of hockey shoulder padding that Lemon wore in her first lip sync on Canada's Drag Race.
Yeah, it does.
Maybe a little bit of RuPaul's Drag Race clandestine clairvoyancy there. But otherwise, I don't know. Blue does what she does. She's wearing my least favorite socks in the whole wide world, which are ruffled fucking socks.
If you guys just look from like the knee down, like the stockings with the socks with the shoes, it's like, what the hell is that?
It's like Avril Lavigne going to communion.
It's giving like Hot Topic manager.
Goodness gracious. Yeah. I can't look at this anymore, Christian. Yeah, Christian. Away from me. But the judges ate this shit up, though. They were really having a good time with it.
Her face looks gorgeous.
Oh, yeah. Her face is stunning. But...
yeah. No comment.
Well, dolls, I mean, what do we have to say in conclusion of the episode? You know, what are your thoughts? I mean, what do you have to say, guys?
I feel like a great big hater, but the fact of the matter is that ultimately I loved it all, like, down. I just probably, like many people, have very high expectations for our, like, Avengers crossover of Drag Race queens and thought that they were really going to show out. And I don't know that everyone did.
Right. Half the cast did, right?
Yeah.
I'm excited for this new franchise. I really wasn't expecting much. I thought it was going to be kind of like a random spinoff, like, you know, a Christmas special or RuPaul's Celebrity Secret Drag Race. I don't even know if I said that right. But I think that this is going to be better than All Stars. I think because when you think about it, this is the best of the best. All Stars is getting to the point where it's
and
like, well,
bag of chips.
Yeah, and Bag of Chips. Bag of Chips is just not going to be your favorite at all, no matter what she does this season.
I mean, we'll see. Eureka turned me around completely in her all-star season, so if Bag of can do the same here, I'd be happy to love more people in the world. It'd be great. I'd be a better person for it.
I mean, when you really think about it, overall, this is almost like an international all-stars.
Right.
And, because let's be honest, you know, American All Stars is kind of just now pulling queens from different seasons who didn't win, and it's not necessarily all stars. I think we have a pretty solid, you know, quote unquote international All Stars cast with us, and it's going
to
be good.
I mean, I know. I'm excited to see what other countries they begin to incorporate. I can't wait to see an España girl, like a Carmen Farala. Like, I want to see, like.
If Carmen comes on, it's over.
You think?
Carmen would slaughter. I'd leave no stains.
And you know what? Do you guys think it's kind of a disadvantage for some? Like, Jujubee has been on the show so many times. It's like, girl, maybe give an opportunity to someone else. Do I think it was a fun... I think Bibi Zahara Benet would have actually been sick instead of Jujubee. I think that would have been cooler. I mean, yeah, Bibi's been on two things of All Stars, but... I mean, no, she hasn't. She's only been one All Stars, and she was the winner of season one. But I mean, like... I think that would have been more of like, oh, fuck, BB's back, the OG, the number one bitch, the first winner of all time. I don't know. Like, I think I do like some of the casting choices. Maybe I wish there was a bigger lineup. I mean, there's only six episodes, which is kind of sad to me, like, because they're really, really, giving it to us on this first episode. And I mean, I just hope that this franchise actually grows and expands and it's more like Olympic vibes. You know, that would be really, really sick.
It'd be great to have any Latina or Latinx person on the show at all. You know, for a UK versus the world show, it's strange to have the world represented without any such individual, but I guess we're kind of used to that at this point.
So. Valentina would be kind of fun and added to this lineup. I'm not the biggest fan of hers, but I think she would have been fun on here. Who else, girls? Who are we thinking?
I mean, I've always said I wanted to see LaGanja come on again.
Oh, she's gonna win like the next All-Stars.
Yeah, if she chooses to go on it, but I...
Oh, girl, she's been showing face a lot, and definitely she will be coming back. Jessica Wilde.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. I love her. Yeah. I would have loved Rita Baga, actually. Would have been a great addition to this cast, I feel, especially so that Jimbo could call out her hairline looking like barf again.
I did not like Rita Baga at all.
Oh, that sucks for you, man. How do you hate love?
I just really did not like her, personally. Priyanka, she deserved to win, right?
Yeah, no, for sure. I don't know about deserve to win as much as but who cares about deserving, I guess. But I know that I was very happy when Priyanka won. Right. But I would have been very happy if Rita won. Mm-hmm. If Scarlett won,
Jimbo should have been there, not Scarlett. Let's be real.
Scarlett got a horrible edit, though, on top of it all, so.
Miss Abby OMG was actually very fierce, too.
Yeah, Abby, oh my God. Oh my, God. I wish Abby, oh my God, was here for sure.
I think she would probably have gone home first, though, unfortunately.
Abby, oh my God.
Yeah, I think she's a great, great queen and fun to watch, but I think that she doesn't have the same level of polish that even Baga's designer was able to give her for this episode.
So, who do y'all think should have gone home? Let's talk. Okay, we all agree that Pangina ate. Yeah. She won. She killed it. I mean,
Jimbo gave us the worst lip sync for your legacy ever, and Jimbo knows that. So it's not even a critique or a
bitch.
Read.
That shit was horrible, and I don't think her makeup helped either, though. Or
the
her
shoes
costume
did not help.
Yeah. Who do you think? I don't think Lemon should have gone home. I was very sad. I definitely think it should have been Janie Jacquet.
I stick with Lemon. Sadly,
I say. Bottom two should have been, I'm sorry, Juju, but it should have been Jujubee and Janie Jacquet. I think should have been the bottom two, in my opinion. And I think Lemon should have been safe.
Yeah, I don't think Juju's going to make it that far.
Because let's be honest, in my opinion, I thought Lemon's talent show was a lot more elevated than Janie Jacquet's.
And then Jujubee's.
And Lemon looked better on the runway than Janie Jacquet.
And Jujubee.
Yeah. So,
Robert, justify your qualifications.
Well, my qualifications are what they are. But I think Jujubee, they're not going to let go of Jujubee. Let's be fucking real. Like, they need another sensible 74. They need another Big Dicks and Fried Chicken. They need a moment that will be evergreen on Twitter and Tumblr and whoever else people online are talking shit still. But... I maintain that I think, especially for a professional dancer who told us several times in her season that she was one, Lemon just did not give us stage presence. She didn't give us hitting the beat. She gave us really, I think, what is critiqued usually in the Rusicles, which is when a queen is kind of learning their steps and is learning the choreo and is learning the words and just can't pull it together in time. I don't think Lemon gave us professional in anything. Obviously, the split off of the staircase was great. I don't really care if it's derivative of Aja's because Aja's not the only person to ever fucking, you know, bust into the splits from a high elevation. We lived when LaGanja did it. Why do we not live when Lemon does it? But I think everything before that was super lackluster.
Yeah, I mean, nothing will ever meet the OG falling into the split. Tandy, Iman, Dupree, put some respect on that queen's name. RIP to a legend. Well, thank you guys so much in joining us for this episode of Bring It to the Runway UK versus the World Edition. If you guys enjoyed, please send us some love. Follow me on Instagram @Hella_Christian. We have some really fun content coming your way. I can't wait to share it with you all. And it does have to do with the pod. Please share it with your friends when you find out what it is.
you're out of control. But you can follow me at RAWB54, or you can DM me, or you can comment on my recent picture that I posted in 2018. It's looking great, Kroll.
Yeah, I cannot strain this enough. Robert's account definitely gives spam. And Robert, I really, really hope that you post some of this content that we have produced for our fans.
Marcos, what's your handle, girl?
Yeah, well, first of all, I want to thank you both for having me. This was actually a lot of fun.
Duh.
You guys, this was my first podcast, but I hope I didn't do too shabby, but I loved it. Super, super fun. My handle, it does not give spam. It is at Marquitos, so spelled M-A-R-Q-V-I-T-O-S. Be supposed to be a U. But yeah, follow me. It's public.
Yeah, she's a thirsty little bitch. She a hottie. She a thottie. We love it. I love when my bestie posts her shit. You know, she's definitely a lot more active than I am as well. So we love the doll. All right, everyone. Thank you guys so much. Bye-bye.
Deuces.